From the sixth hour until the ninth hour, darkness came over the whole land. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of those standing there heard this, they said, "He's calling Elijah." Immediately, one of them ran and got a sponge. He filled it with wine vinegar, put it on a stick, and offered it to Jesus to drink. The rest said, "Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to save him." And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks split. The tombs broke open and the bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs. And after Jesus' resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many people. What a day. Changed everything. Momentous moment on earth. At that moment, when Jesus, dying on a cross, gave up his spirit, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Religiously, spiritually, our sins had been atoned for. The great wall of division between us and God had been broken down, bridged by Jesus and his death. And at that moment, the place that had only been reserved for the high priests and access into the presence of God, the curtain, the veil of that place was ripped apart, giving access to us. What happened? The earth shook and the rocks split. Momentous moment in heaven and on earth. Something of the magnitude of an earthquake rocked that place. And the stones just broke open. But most importantly, the tombs broke open and the bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs and after Jesus' resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many people. Why? Because Jesus wanted to demonstrate that the moment that our sins was atoned for, everything changed. Everything that had failed to bring life to a people who were broken and snared by sin. Every saint who had died trusting in God that something would change. And Jesus, as part of the demonstration of that, some of the bodies, not all, because this was not the resurrection of God's people, but sufficiently, some people he raised to life. And on that day that he was raised to life, they entered the city of Jerusalem. Was this a stunt? Was this a trick to fuel the imagination? Why were these people walking? Why were these people living? Because Jesus wanted to demonstrate what his death had achieved and what his resurrection would assure. That every saint, every Christian, everyone who trusted in the Lord Jesus, one day and one day soon would experience what these select number of individuals were experiencing. That death would not have a sting or victory over them, but at the word of his command, they would be raised up. And so for those limited days, they walked through Jerusalem. Jesus had the power to raise the dead. This is a triumphant day. Death does not have the final word. We have a hope that only those who trust Jesus can truly possess. We have a foundation for our excitement that is not built on wishful thinking or external circumstances, but on the reality of what happened on that particular day. My destiny changed because of that particular day. The focus of my affection changes because of that particular day. Every gravesite that I attend changes when I know they're trusting Jesus. It doesn't have the sting or sense of finality that it would possess if Jesus had not been raised that day. We have the most obvious reason for exuberant joy. We have a confidence that cannot be extinguished because it is based on Jesus' death and resurrection. And it creates within each one of us an anticipation of a moment that still lies ahead, foreshadowed by their raising from the dead, that one day our mortal bodies that see decay, our mortal bodies that are wasting away, will emerge from the grave. And we will be raised up too. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals because you were slain. And with your blood you purchased men for God. From every tribe and language and people and nation, you have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God. And they will reign on the earth. Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. And they encircled the throne, the living creatures and the elders. And in a loud voice they sang, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them singing, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise, honor and glory and power forever and ever and ever. Amen." That day changed everything. And there is a day coming for the people of God when we die in Christ, that we will be absent from a body and present with the Lord. And there will be a day coming when he will unite all his church out of every tribe, out of every nation, out of every generation. Everything in heaven and earth will be reconciled to himself. And they will all stand in the presence of God and sing, "Worthy, worthy, worthy is the Lamb of God." I'm looking forward to that day when God breaks down every distinction that has separated. I look forward to that day when there is no more black and white or person of different ethnic origin. I'm looking forward to that day when we do not see people by class or social distinction. I'm looking forward to that day when there are no denominations. That day when we are all gathered together, one in Christ, adoring, worshiping the living, loving Lord. But it begins now. It begins now. Do you really think that God just wants you to worship in a very insignificant, unimportant way on earth, and then just when you're changed in heaven, you'll decide to worship him then? He wants your worship of him to begin now. A life transformed. A life invigorated by the Holy Spirit who indwells and empowers the believer. He wants you to begin your worship as if you were in heaven now. For you should love him now. And love him with all your heart, soul, and mind. That's what the scriptures teach. We are to love him because he's walking with us now. Every step of the way, he's walking with us to heaven. Love him now. Turn to his face this morning, the one who is walking beside you, and tell him you love him now. And you want to worship him now. And you're looking forward to the day when you will see him face to face. And that moment, you will see him with all those who have seen him face to face. Are you going to finish the race? Disillusioned? Disinterested? Dissatisfied? Disinfected? I meet enough people like that every day of my life who call themselves Christians. Do you think that's how God wants us to live? Really? Can you find a verse in Scripture to back up your point? Can you find a saint of God who walked close with him who thought the same? Because even those who suffered the most were the ones who expressed their devotion to him, even when they didn't understand what this God was doing. We have a reason to worship. That day, thousands of years ago, Jesus rose from the grave. And if he's not worthy, who is? Let us pray.